Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, y'all? It's Monday night. OE Dry Bones. Tonight, our show gonna be so serious. It's gonna be so high, you can't get over this. And for those of you who try to go low, you can't get under this. So guess what? You have to come through it. This is your chance.
Oh,
Under the groove. That's right. We are one nation and we are under the groove. It depends on how far this groove will go. Tonight, we thank you. Monday night, OE Dry Bones. We thank you for joining for us to this very controversial night we're going to have. We spoke with a lot of people this weekend and had a lot of good conversations and a lot of good things are going on. I want to give a shout out to those of you who are in the trenches, who are actually fighting this war in the local political world, Irene Allen Cates, she did quite well on her debate with the incumbent of Pinellas County for the school board district in Pinellas County, and she is doing quite well. These are people that I think are talking, they in the trenches. It's going to be a local war, y'all, because if we don't get grasp on what's going on in our own area, you can hang it up for the areas that you cannot see. Well, let's go on this premise tonight. Before we get started, hopefully I can get some feedback from the sisters up in Fort Lauderdale. I think Dr. Carver had a 3-day seminar. Maybe somebody can give me some feedback on that. If not today, maybe on Wednesday, hopefully. Also, there is going to be, I'm going to get more information on this now. I hope I get, by Wednesday, I'll have full information. It's going to be a Marcus Garvey Festival in Tampa, and I believe it's on the 15th of this month. I will have more information on that. By Wednesday, I'll have the whole thing, number, and everything, so you can check that out. That should be something up in the Tampa area. It's the Marcus Garvey, having a Marcus Garvey day. And also, we're also going to have a book signing or a book where a bunch of authors are going to meet up in St. Petersburg area. So I'll have more information on that fully, but I am bringing it out there that so you guys can get ready. All this is happening next weekend. So you have time to prepare, but we'll get more information to you via the internet and via on the show Wednesday night. And it should be on some people's Facebook. So once I get everything in order, I'll make an announcement. That should be a nice outing for those of you who are into the Marcus Garvey mindset. But tonight, we had a little fun over the weekend. I was reading on some stuff. You know, everything you see can't be, you know, traced. You got to look it up. But they had a funny story about Taylor Swift being afraid of black men. And, you know, I'm laughing because it's jokeable, you know. It's funny, and they got a lot of things on there. That, you know, then I started realizing the name they was using was called Negrophobia. I said, Negrophobia? Can this be a real word? I know there's a lot of things with Negrophobia. And in the same vein, I also was reading this article about Obama and Obamamania. So I said, man, these two words are very interesting. Let me put this stuff together because I already know about the Obama mania, but the Negrophobia idea was just quite stunning that they would actually put this out there. And so tonight, our premise is on Negrophobia and Obama mania, and where do you lie in both these two words? But as always, we have to give a shout out to what I consider the principles that have defined nations, cultures, around all the globe, and that is the truth, the justice, the harmony, the balance, the reciprocity, the order, and righteousness. These are the fibers of moral society, be it that all things are not perfect, but these principles follow in its most highest degrees obtainable for a world that is considered in the realms of our ancestors, the golden age. which one day we will in our physical body. We may not be there, those of us who are talking and listening today, but that age will come back regardless what we think or not. Time does not stop. But right now, we're going to deal with our time. And I'm only going to use this time to explain how quickly and serious this is about. This negrophobia mentality is a fear. Y'all know this fear has been going on a long time. It says it's known only to white men and white women, but I'm going to put us in there too because I think we got some negrophobia in us as well. We're going to explain it tonight. Is that when a colored person will commit a random, unprovoked act of violence or stupidity that puts one's safety in danger. That's the one definition. This is in dictionary. So they work on the personification, what they perceive to be fear of Negro people. It says, I have a really bad Negro phobia. Whenever I see a black near me, I get scared or even or lock my door when appropriate. Y'all know y'all seen that before. It happened to me, I'm sure. And also, it would happen to anybody who see a group of perceived to be our people. I'm going to use our people, but those of you who are maybe not will perceive to see a group of blacks maybe in a situation where you say, well, hey, I better lock my door. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? We're going to discuss that tonight. Would it be the same way if you've seen a group of whites? Sure it would be, especially if they had tattoos and big-ass earrings in their nose. I would be kind of skeptical about that, too, as locking my door. But this particular thing goes even further. It says that albino kids have a serious negrophobia. Now, I thought that was the most fascinating one. It says that albino kids has a serious negrophobia. We all know albinos. Many of them are products of black individuals. And as always, they come out very light. Sometimes they have broad noses, thin noses, ain't no particular phenotype. And then sometimes they have blonde hair and blue eyes. All depends. But one thing we know, they have come from black people. Now, there is an issue in the continent of killing of the albinos. Now, we might take this further depending on how this conversation goes. But let's be honest, the albinos in the continent of Africa also are in fear of their lives based off what is considered mutation. Sometimes it is very much likely it could be killed, and not all the time. So there's pictures of many individuals throughout the world who have had albino kids. So that's not the issue. But this is what the definition entails. Now, let's go with this thing for a minute. Now, we're going to take it from past until we get to where we are today. Now, I told you last week there was three distinct characteristics of blacks. But I never got a chance, really, because I wasn't trying to get to the white person's side because I guess it was meant for the day. But this fear is coming off these particular groups of white that were studied back in the day during the 1930s prior to this so-called bankruptcy, because we're going to get into all that once we get into the Obama mania. This group of whites, and I'm going to read one, and I'm going to read two, I'm going to read three, I'm going to be quick about it so we can get into the conversation. But this group of whites, considerably, group one, was a large majority of white men in the South believed black needed to learn their place and remain there. Though whites never said just what this place was, they showed it to them by limiting education, by discrimination on the streets, the railroads, by barring them from public parks, public libraries, public amusements of all kinds, by insulting, replying to courteous questions and convictions for trivial offenses, and finally, by a shotgun or lynching. This group rears its ugly heads with the creation of the Ku Klux Klan. In doing so, pretty strong In doing this, the Ku Klux Klan was pretty strong during the Great Depression. This was called the rabble class. Got that? The rabble class. I'm going to say that right, the rabble. They would rev it up. That's the first group now. They nothing. Nothing. Then you have the second group. It says, while a lot of Southern whites would have been in this category, there were other classes of whites' belief as well. This next group of whites, though fewer in number, condemned all views held by the first. They believed that blacks should have equal rights, but they should be denied equal political and educational rights. They believed in the Bible to be a universal remedy to all the ills of the Negro. In order to support this analysis, this group of whites often revert to the times when they say there was no race problem. This is during slavery, when the master taught his slave the beneficial influences of the Holy Bible. There appeared to be a white man in the South to return to this practice, and this class would fall a large number of politicians, statesmen, educators, ministers. This class is called the conservative class. Maybe that's why when you hear these conservatives talking about the Bible and the good old days and the founding fathers and how good a time it was back then, maybe you need to listen to that class. That's a class that is very, very, very so-called pro people. You know, they got higher morals, but yet they think that slavery was the best time and that this would be the most idyllic thing to be by using the Bible as its beneficial influence. That's group two. And then group three, I will go quickly. There is still a third class of white men in the South. They believe that blacks just men are just men, nothing more, nothing less. They believe that under similar circumstances, blacks would act as other races do. These whites contended there should be equal rights in every aspect. There should be equality in voting, worthy blacks and whites, and none of the ignorant whites and blacks. That the school money should be divided equally among the children of the states, regardless of the race. That blacks deserve the same justice in the courts. That the criminal lawless blacks should be punished equally as the criminals and the lawless whites. And it goes on to say they believe that strict adherence to the views will result in the final end of the race war. And there were, however, very few who felt this way. And they were so widely scattered that they could hardly be a class. Now, this is a strange thing because this is the class of whites that we consider to be somewhat liberal, somewhat conservative, but the Independent Party. The Independent Party would be more likely this. Now, in going through that, start the premise of tonight's show and discussion, and feel free to bring up other topics. It has to be a reason why this so-called fear is stepping back, basically because we never had the power to do anything that would create such a fear or panic. Mainly, the class that we seen first considered to be the rabble class would be the most class that would consider to be the most terrorist class. Now, that class today would be considered the patriots. The ones who have those guns, shotguns, they're patriots. They call themselves sovereign citizens. They want to have complete control. Now, I want you to understand, I'm going to bring this up to speed before we get into the second part of this, and I'll start bringing calls in. Yo, you be able to tell me, what do you see today in this political climate of America? We have many classes of people are running for elections in the next couple months, and if not the next 2 years, we will have be full of election propaganda. You have these distinct groups that have been studied, analyzed, and put into play for what would be considered the last vestige of America. We ask ourselves, from 1930 prior to 2014, which we are in, how far has our production How far have we become as not just people, but as a nation, if this is to be a nation? That will be discussed also when we get into Obama mania. What is it that we are trying to obtain? When we consider Negrophobia is the new terminology that is being used by what I consider white supremacist wordplay to give us the illusion that we are feared. That's why it was so easy to kill my brother for stand your ground, which is a law that was probably put in place for Negrophobia, because I'm so feared. And what causes this fear? Media. The media has a tendency to show us as gangsters based off what we used to have a couple shows back called Who Controls Rap. Rap is now has been given the go-ahead to demoralize the look, the culture of Black America, to give them this gangster, misogynist, our women are hoes, look. So even in the most circumstances of walking into a neighborhood, most people who don't know you are coming from these countries will consider you a part of these reality TV shows that they see and put you in the same category as that, not even knowing what's your background at all. This is what media has done. So when somebody looks at you, and let's take that and we're going to go, when Kanye West wouldn't grab Taylor Swift's trophy and said that Beyonce was better, was he put up to do that? Or did he do that spontaneously? Was he put to show that we so unstable that we would just go and jump up into a show that's on the air live and snatch this priceless trophy out the hands of their country vixen? Are we unstable in the minds of most of this world because of how we react to everything? That's Negrophobia. And that Negrophobia is everywhere if we look across mainstream media. One minute we look like they're disliking us with having baggy pants, and yet all your shows show the same thing. First they said our hair was too wild, now everybody shows they have dreads, braids is commonality now. So are they really scared, or is this a way to give credence to the wave of maniacs that they call Obama mania? Now we're going to get deep into this and then we're going to start the discussion. Obama have created this Negrophobia as well. Question is, was it done by design? Knowing that Obama money did not come directly from the Black community. The Black community did not have enough to bring him the promise the way he was brought up. They said the Obama administration, and Obama mania really means fervent admiration for Barack Obama. That means just fire, rabbit. You just can't stop yourself. Everything he does just turns you on. It's like a magnetic pulse goes through you when you see him talk. Remember, people was crying. Everything had me all shaking up. I'm thinking, can this be true? And then my mind said, wait a minute, follow the money. And once I got myself into the concept of follow the money, even though those of you say there is no money, and we're going to get in that too, because, you know, it's funny how nobody says they want money, but then when they give a seminar, they want some money. Ain't that funny? That's called Negrophobia, too. They scare me when they come talking about, we don't need money. There is no money. But after you get to my seminar, can you give me $11.99? Then, you know, pay for shipping would be $50. You know, it's amazing how all this money is fake until it's time to come to you. That's why I don't like to advocate so much of this stuff. Because obviously you got to have something to maneuver with until we think of some new type of currency. But right now, Obama mania might not even need currency. Based on what we're seeing, they have everybody turning out to the most expensive remake of the Cold War drama. It's a Manchurian Candidate going on, everybody. If you haven't, move on. Don't make us come out there and get you phrase. It's starting to be, you know, looked upon. Like, hey, don't make me get mad and have to come get you. So the allure of the golden child hasn't worn off thin enough yet. And the reality of the problems, the bank bailouts, which no one liked to talk about, which was the first thing that was done, and then the continued war, what actually polls is that it doesn't hurt enough. You know how much war costs everybody a day? A day. We're talking millions of dollars a day has to go to suffice a war machine. And then I had some brothers I was listening to today, and I'm going to bring this up too. If you are financing war, and America is considered the military might of the New World Order, some people say the Vatican is the holy order of the religious, and then the city of Rome, city of London is the banking finance part, and America is the military part. Well, people, think about this. If it's the military part, that means the operation of this is militarized. That means you are in a military dictatorship. Can't be no simpler. We said this to you a couple months ago. You got the Attorney General, General. You got Commander-in-Chief, which is a general. Everything's a general in this operation. So the point I'm going to make tonight is this Obama mania leading us right into the hands of those who was created? Think about this. It says, any mark of words in this new age capitalist order will actually challenge by any revolutionary current rooted in the middle class masses. That's most of us right there, y'all. If you consider that we're not in abject poverty and we're not rich, so we're in the middle. It would be because we're not going to have a choice, y'all. We're all going to find out why sharks have those extra row of teeth. Now, we're going to open up the microphones because we want everybody to get their little comments in here tonight, because we want to know, is Obama mania created for you to be non-effective politically because of your fear of saying that this black individual is not doing his part and you don't want to say it? Can negrophobia be also predicated on the minds of blacks to be scared of each other? You know, we all say how scared we are to do business with each other, how scared we are to, you know, trust each other with money, how scared we are. And you know what? Let's be honest. In some areas, we have a right to be scared. Just look at some of the neighborhoods and the unprovoked shootings that are going on that cause the police to come in as a military force. They're not coming in as the police of old. They come in as a doggone war machine. They have these armored vehicles that can actually go through your house. They have now new executive powers given to them by the counties and the sheriff. Why is it so hard for us to see this? Is it because we have fervent adoration for Obama? No matter how it looks, we just can't say nothing like, oh, he was wrong. Is that put in place by the New World Order to give us the member? And we said this before, I don't have a problem with white and black. It's created. Everybody know the joy of the earth is melanated. You don't have to keep debating that over and over. That's something in our psyche that we are having to debate, a fact that most of the earth is dark. Just because they dark don't mean we all going to get along. India is dark as hell don't mean they trying to stop this happening to what's going on to us. Maybe one's over here in this area. We have now the biggest problem that we're going to face is immigration. Immigration is about to be voted on or executive authorized, which is a new word. He's going to do an executive order, and it would give him the power to make them citizens. What does that do for everybody? Everybody who knows about the birth certificate got to know that he will use Social Security numbers on these people. Social Security numbers will actually be used to be put on Wall Street, and now they have a new crop of credit. A new crop of credit. They will do whatever they need to keep this thing going until it's time to pop. But they have not gotten everything in place for it yet. You must remember, there's a lot of things that have to be done to actually pull the whole thing down. And even though roads, even though seaways, even though borders are about to change, they still are not at the level of taking the whole thing down because they must protect certain avenues of trade. And that's what they're doing now with these wars. They're creating war to create the trading routes necessary for their global empire. So before we get started tonight, is Negrophobia real? And is our people intoxicated with Obama? Now, if you have something to say, here's your opportunity to come on in here, get on the call. Please hit the number one. There are some callers out there. I thank all of you who are listening to the internet. Appreciate that. But if not, I'll bring in some callers in the next. Give me to, I guess, to the quarter after, quarter two mark. I hope to get some people who want to get in on it because, to me, it is imperative that we start to wake up to this color game that is being played in America. Remember, this was taught to us by, see, we like to talk about Marcus Garvey and so forth, but W.D. Du Bois mentioned himself during his time that the race game was going to be the crucial game of the 21st century. Why would he say that? Because they know how they were playing it back then, which is even more serious because it was at a time where they had no problem doing what they wanted to do. Now, what you have today is a proxy of individuals using media, sports, entertainment, the arts, music is on a global scale now. And why would that be? Well, let's be honest. We're dealing with what I consider such depravity that when we showed you not too long ago that the Germans were actually controlling most of the interest of this world and the interest of America based off its old ancient principles. The decrees of the ancient Austrians is still in effect. But we don't like to talk about it like that. You don't want to believe Germany is still ruling. You don't want to believe that Hitler's so-called SS men are never was able to infiltrate America's society at a high level. Well, you are wrong. They did. And we are going to talk tonight about this because with the Obama mania that's being taken to a new height, let's look at what's happening. We have been corporatized. We have also have huge deficits. We also have huge unemployment. We also have a serious amount of people being brought to the country illegally. Sounds like the old Jim Crow era to me. Meaning, we would take the people, bring them to a new level of poverty based off bringing people in who, in their minds, is rich once they get here. Because they have destroyed their economies. So you got all these people coming in. Now what do you have, everybody? You have the North American Union. Once you have that, which is already here, that means Canada and Mexico have already merged. Already. You can use your enhanced driver's license, which we have reported that some people went to Mexico not too long ago and was able to walk through the borders with an enhanced driver's license. So that means you no longer need what? You won't need it, a passport through this sector. You might need a passport to go to the sector or to the European sector or to the African sector, but they're sectoring off the land now. It's beyond what we thought. It's already being sectored off. And for doing this, Just watch clearly. We got 2 weeks to see this happen, y'all. He's going to either do an executive order or Congress is going to go along with this. Now, in doing so, I was listening to a couple of shows today, which I normally don't, but some people say, listen, I listened. And good to hear one of my show sisters back. Sister Ngoni had her show. It was very enlightening. And so I was listening to her, and I listened to a few others this afternoon. And I was listening to what I was hearing on an earlier show. It was still a lot of doubt. Some people think they have this thing so locked up on how you could live this way, private and public. And my thing was, man, maybe this is a trick to get everybody to be so into this while they doing this. Because it doesn't matter that you're saying this when you already lost your sovereignty. See, the sovereignty is already lost once they became the North American Union. See, once you allow, the test tube baby was Detroit. I'm glad Reverend Picnic is still fighting, but it's a rough fight because what's happening is they are just been told, and I don't know if many of y'all kept up with it, but did you know that the judge said that they still going to go after him even if they don't have evidence? Do you hear what I'm saying? They don't even have evidence and they're going to take him into court. This is called the Inquisition, everybody. And because we thought the Inquisition had ended, it's still going on because the same power structure is still in power today. You still got European powers over here ruling America, and it's called the military-industrial complex. The police have become demilitarized. Do you see the armor vehicles? Have y'all noticed them? In certain cities, they look like tanks. They've been doing maneuvers all through urban areas, preparing for something. And then the big daddy of them all, Ebola has now, and I have been talking about Ebola. Y'all been hearing me from Dr. Ngimi, give me all the information that's going on in K-Africa, and there's a whole bunch of brothers and sisters that email me from Africa, and I get to look at some of the stuff they're talking about. And let me tell you, Sierra Leone was boarded up. They stopped borders in different parts of Africa, and we didn't even care. Because remember, the longer America stays stupid, the easier this is going to be. As long as America, I don't care if you black, right, if you believe that things are okay, they will be able to pull off the biggest heist in the history of the world based off ignorance. And so, and listen to some of these brothers and sisters and people talking, they be using the Bible, I know this. They use the Bible. And a lot of people are saying different names, you know. A lot of white people are calling Yahweh, the Jews are saying Yahweh, then you got the Hebrew Israelites saying Yahweh, and different things, and you got different people, you know, calling out to Jesus, going to send executions back to render his people. But the bottom line is, when we say the Bible is made solemnly written, people get quiet. Now, how are you going to be on these shows talking about the Bible and not tell that the Bible is written by these Masonic writers of European descent? Then you ain't really doing us a good purpose on being on these shows if you're going to keep our main segments of truth. Truth of the matter is, many of them can't decipher the book because it's not made for the average person to decipher. Just like court. It was said that if you can't have a system of law that's understandable to the common man, then you have nothing but a diabolical plot for control. Diabolical plot. Anytime something's made this difficult to understand, how we got to go through metaphysical transformation to go into court, the Bible say wait 2 days for the witnesses and all this stuff. I mean, we get into allegoric symbolism. Can you imagine going to court with that type of stuff? Can you really imagine that? How many judges really know that type of super messianic lingo that is definitely beyond some of them? Only certain judges will probably know some of the things that are being said about Jesus walking on water, amity. You know, they know, but then they all do not know. You can tell by, if you've been in court, how dumb they look when you start to say stuff. Now, either it's a game they playing, could be. But I know one thing, that is something about this court thing that they got us all wanting to go to seems to be playing into their hand. Now, you say, what you mean, Drybone? I mean, you got to make the filing of the, you know, they make it a killing just off of filing. By us filing these paperwork, they make it a killing. Because they know in the heart of hearts, it's created to make them believe that they got power over our souls. You know, there's people talking about they got our souls on mortgage. Can they really have a soul on mortgage, or is this just a word play they play to make us believe they got our souls on mortgage? You know, this is a Roman Catholic priesthood mumble jumble that we have all fallen to because we like to be mesmerized. It's like abracadabra, hocus pocus. So when they do the word play, we automatically start going into the wordplay and start falling for all these Latinized words. Nobody's speaking Latin today fully. You know that. And then you find out it's the language of Saturn, which is a total different thing that we can get into, but we won't. Because negrophobia has scared us all from even learning the right thing. Because we got so many black folks who are trying to take advantage of each other. Period. That's negrophobia. See, not only now that the white man scared of us, he has taught us to be scared of us at a high level as well. So our phobia is beyond. We're scared of our women because we don't know what they're capable of doing. They may not never say they appreciate you. They may not never say, you right, baby, let's do it this way. So we're scared of them. Then we got, they scared of us. We might get some and don't never come back to take care of the kids. You know, we might beat you up for stupidity because we don't want you to be better than us. That's negrophobia on ourselves now. See what I'm saying? And then the albino, who's out of us as well, he's scared of us too. So the question is, what is going on with us that these terms have to be placed on us? And where is our so-called self-respect? It's one thing to know that people got problems, but to watch us on the news, if you watch us on the news, you would swear. Now, that's called propaganda because you know we're not the worst people on the planet. Everybody should know that, really. We're not the worst people. But it looks like we are because we promote it and we love to be on parade. They love it. They know that we flamboyant, so they just say, put them on TV. Make them look this way. And then when they got the world to look at us, they bring in Obama. Now, let's talk a minute, y'all. There's a lot of things that I could go on, but just look at those of you on the internet. You see my slide presentation. Let's be real. The Bush family can get no worse than you can get, far as a corrupt group of politicians. Father helped the Nazis. His brothers, CIA. Now they're talking about another brother, Jeb, who's trying to run. Can you see that this has all been played together? Obama did nothing but took what George W. Bush laid on the table. Said, you take it to this level here. Now, what is that level? The level is practically a dictatorship. You say, oh, man, he tripping, man. He talking about, didn't I say, and not just me, but many of the political science educated minds know that communism means that you are a country that takes over all of its resources, like its medical, its automotive department, its water department. It takes over everything, where they are, the government is control of all activities, all social services. It's no longer governed by the states. So when it takes over, now it's not even privatized. Because a privatized person means me and my homeboy can get it through a contract and I can use my people, so I privatize the company from being involved with government agencies. So as a private entity, I wasn't brought it. And I take it, I got my own people doing it. They have said, screw that. They want complete control of all accessible transportation and everything. Now, you're watching this every day. The question is, how long can you, a working class individual, continue to go this route? How long can you watch this? Now, not only is it happening to us, but see, the 30-year-old crowd let's just say the 30 to 25 crowd, we're leaving them a seriously terrible legacy. First of all, we talk a lot about different things that we don't give the young people a full scoop. If money is worthless and gold and silver was supposedly the original currency that was backed, just like the usual Masonic Bible says, the silver and gold is mine, saith the Lord. Right there is your clue to the money. Silver and gold. Because he said it's mine. And then you know that's a transactional thing. But then as we get more involved with that, now I'm going to tell you what we're going to start doing too, and I'm going to get this out there now. In September, we would cut our Mondays nights out. We would change our schedules. We would only do Wednesday. But we are considering doing a Sunday morning, and we're going to name it the Helios Biblios Hour, where you have your Bible, but we would transform it to what it was really is, the Book of Light, or the Book of the Sun. And when we tell you to open up the Book of the Sun, we will give you what is considered light in its true essence. We will not deviate. We will give you the scriptures necessary for you to understand this quickly, because see, if it is the Bible that they are using, and they are, there's no way you can be able to stand on it unless you know the hidden and the untold things that are in it. And I'm not the only one. You can go to Z Guys, you can go to a bunch of people and see that it's in there. It's just that we're going to bring it to those who don't want to go maybe to church at 9, from 9 to 11, we will give you in our own spiritual minds what we believe is nourishment to battle this. Because going to court in this juncture may not be beneficial. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. This so-called bankruptcy that everybody's talking about and all this stuff, Woodrow Wilson and them and Lewis McFarland and the Banking House and Currency Committee, these were Democrats. Everybody, these were Democrats. Roosevelt, Democrat, the New Deal. These particular individual programs was used at the same point of time as Obamacare to decay the people. You would not suspect it. It's so undercover, you would not suspect it. Based off the fact, much of this was done in secret room, a handshake, a talk, a golfing. You would not know this. So when they made these deals, they realized they gave all of the banking interest back over to Europe with the Eldridge Act. From having all this done, the Eldridge Act and all these things done, politicians started being paid, had to be paid to keep this going. You can't do it without the vampire. So he's sucking the blood, which is the demonic currency, which is the god of this world. That's why you have it in your pocket, in God we trust. That is your god. Because even going to church, God is omnipresent, omnipotent. He needs 10% at the end of the service. So God needs money. Now, as we have shown that these bankers, these laws, every time a group of us start to find our way, try to figure it out, they are sitting in a boardroom with about 10 to 15 of their most brightest intellectuals, and they have figured out how to combat you because you're trying to be number one, and battle everybody to make them believe you know all about this particular subject. And if it was the case, we would be further off than we were now. But see, the difference with those of them in this order, they ain't trying to be head honchos. They are trying to be rulers. And that means that everybody has a place. Now, I don't have a problem with anybody who's trying to elevate their knowledge and consciousness. That's what you're supposed to do. But the problem is coming. And it's coming at a very, let's say, problematic problem when we all can't seem to agree on certain things. Many of us are not going to be able to be articulate in going into courtrooms. Many of us do not have the time. We got mothers who can't get fathers to give them money for child care. We got people who can't even get to work, let alone to be studying Black's Law Dictionary, which is a European dictionary, everybody. You know, this is something that came out of Old English, and it's still in our psyche today, that Old English. This is coming from a Roman rule. Every time you talk about civil law, it's Roman law. So we can't get away from them. It seems like we can't get away from this. Because the more articulate we sound, and we go to study what these articulate brothers are saying, we find out it takes us right back to Roman law. Takes us right back to civil law. Is that the law we want? Is that really want? And then the problem here is, we say we want the real law, and we got all the comedic symbols on our Facebooks, but we won't come back to the Maya. Now, We won't come back to the Maya, but we're going to go to every Black law and Bouvier's, and we're going to sit down and try to discuss this and put this in, but we won't come back to the Maya, which is the origin or the foundation of principles of law given down by the Kemetic dynasties that can prove that they had greatness by the pyramids, the temples, all the artifacts found out throughout the world. We rather debate about Roman law. Well, with Roman law, there's a problem. There's Caesar always involved. And when there's a Caesar, there is a ruler who wants to be an imperialist. And that's why, in dealing with the Obama mania, you have fallen in love with imperialism in black face. And I think that's a very serious thing, imperialism with a black face, because they know that you will not talk against Obama. They know that already. They have studied us. They know us very well. Politically, they have us down pat. Cynthia McKinnon told you that they had to take certain, I won't say oath, but they had to make agreements that they will only help Israel. But let's talk about that. Excuse me. Israel right now is in a protracted war that it seems is going to be escalating. Why would that war be necessary? Why would the area be so great? Well, we all know that there's a canal where the oil must come through. And that oil must come through without anybody trying to stop it. So they have to make sure that area is militarized for the benefit of their trade agreements that was given with the House of Saud, and which is the creation of these petrodollars that is going to be very seriously had to be talked about. How in the heck is the Arab nation, especially the House of Saud, that Saudi Arabia will ever give up the dollar? It would be automatic suicide. So how much in cahoots is these entities together that portray themselves as enemies, or more or less are they actually allies on the surface of trying to pull off the biggest charade on most of us? Gasoline is the biggest con game in the world. If you go to WW Dry Bones Connection, we have the person who said that they made oil a fictitious name to make it look like it was not in abundance when there's oil all over the earth in huge quantities. That's called capitalism. supply and demand. Make scarcity, you make richness. So they made it seems like it's scarce when it's not. They find oil all over earth. That's another game. So in doing so, they have purposely created huge, and I mean huge. Y'all go on there and look it up. They are digging and fracking in the United States at an unparalleled for no reasoning whatsoever. If you have been noticing sinkholes, everybody, sinkholes are popping up all through the country. Huge ones. That's fracking. That's because somewhere down the line, they're drilling into for natural gas. Exploration now is going into our soil. Well, what happened to the protection, the EPA? They don't exist no more. They don't exist. Based on the North American Treaty, America is practically run by the UN, by decree. Obama is basically a figure face for this new world order of the Western world, just like the rest of them are used in Europe. But Europe has a strange thing, and I'm going to read this for y'all because now anybody wants to get in this conversation, feel free. I'm going to bring in 8848 because I see you got your hand up. It seems to be a subject that I'm glad you are listening on, and I hope to keep you in the mix. Let's just talk about this. This war, look what happened. In 2007, George Bush attempted, this is called the Obamamania syndrome. This is why we are suffering with this syndrome. He said that the relationship and forces of resources by military means centered in the Middle East has failed beyond redemption. U.S. spies and generals found it necessary to mutiny to prevent a sane attack on Iran, a crime that will certainly plunge the planet to instant economic and political anarchy. But the imperialists of both parties persisted in finding some spot to corporate military domination. Corporate military domination. Guess where they picked? The Ethiopian invasion of Somalia was a joint exercise with Washington, and it threatened to destabilize the Horn of Africa. The U.S. cynically deployed humanitarian crisis in Darfur as a tool for the Euro-American military intervention. It says demand basking rights of the Gulf of Guinea to control West African oil spigots. The crisis in Latin America largely revolves around color lines, many colors, but always white on top. The regional subterranean black gold is the other mineral in the prize below. They're digging up the earth like cannibals. They are taking every resource. I told you, this is not about saving anybody, everybody. This is about the resources. Many of you know this, but then we play this game as if you're dealing with a righteous government. It can't be a government now. It has long been and has not been and will probably not be in the best interest of the citizens of this land. Based upon the contract that they have made with other corporations, they have been told to demilitarize all areas of the earth. And so Africa right now is hot spot. Dr. Ngimi, hopefully I will get him on the air here. He has sent me some more. They are genociding again, huge amounts of genocide, along with Ebola is going on. And then you have what I consider the biggest travesty on the planet, the missionaries who come in to help. We have found out that the missionaries are no more than taking and the invasion of the body snatchers. Bodies are always being taken. And God only knows of your understanding where they are going. Let me just say this. While we are pretending that nothing is going on and that we can go to court on everything, we can still not stop some of the major takeovers. Now, let me stop there because I want to say, we have had some victories, which are very, I think we need to take a look. Monsanto had to pay $93 million. Bank of America just got busted. They had to pay a certain amount of money. But let us not be fooled. I'm going to keep it simple. When you get a drug bust, you usually got a couple pounds that they can just get offshore. They don't care. Well, we just found 100 pounds of marijuana or cocaine on the shores. Take it that simple. It's the same thing they're doing when they pay these huge amounts of money to these so-called victims. That's nothing to them. That's nothing to them. Matter of fact, that's all show and pony show. They have to act like they got some losses. They can't. Believe me, this is played out so smooth that they allow themselves to lose sometimes. They allow it because it looks good. It makes the people feel like, oh, we beat them. Even though that we can't, but not with that strategy. Not with that strategy. That strategy cannot be used to win because they have already set the game up as a delusionary front. We'll lose this one, but we untook about 25 states worth of houses. But we'll give one state back. That's the way it plays. I took 25, I'm going to give one state back. So out of 50 states, they don't control 25 states. Why not give one back for the illusion? Because, see, they can pacify the mind and make us believe that, hey, we got them. When all along they know that court system is their biggest bamboozler that they ever have. That's why you go in there and you got to open up the gates and key on one side and the other person on the other side, just like some Crips worship, and they bringing you in there. Now, you're supposed to be versed in legalese. Look at so many people who have went to jail. Some of the greatest that I can name, Hidden Colors had the nerve, and I gave them credit for putting them in. They didn't explain much about it. But even when they had Yahweh went to jail. We can go on and on. York went to jail. I know they all did something, but they went to jail. And they had way more than everybody on the radio have talking. So, you know, we have to look at what's really going on, y'all, and take it to real heart. Take it to real heart. If they can take whole properties off this so-called law called, RICO, you don't even hear RICO that much no more. Only when it's necessary. Why no lawyer, can't stop it? What is the procedure to stop it? I damn sure don't see people on radio in the courtroom trying to stop it. Now, not that I won't, but if you can do what you say you can do, it's time to step up now. We can't wait no longer. You know, if we can't catch on as fast as you, because your aptitude is greater than ours to learn these lingos of legalese, I mean, I'm willing to concede. I ain't got that much ego. If you can beat them, I'm on your side. But if you can't and giving me a false hope, then that's another story. Because I'm telling you now, Obamamania has not been even addressed in terms of what he's about to do. I think everybody should take a look at their own perspective and their own jobs and ask me, are we better off? Are we better off in this country? Are we better off? Can you trust your police? Can you go and say you honestly feel safe from either the police or even your own neighborhood? Because sometimes we get afraid of both. You know, the police now are injecting themselves with steroids. They look all buffed up. They're doing choke holds on big brothers. You know, that's another thing. Here is a choke hold on a person on a live video. I don't see nobody rushing to the court to say, you know what? We want his character. We want his name. All the stuff we say, we don't never try to see if we can really pull it off against a real case. You know, it comes a time when how long can we keep hearing about what paperwork can do. It got to be about it now. If it ain't going to save just, if it's going to just save your black ass, I mean, please, that ain't going to help us at all. That's not what this is about, I hope. If this is about saving yourself, then do that. But don't have us believing that you got a magic remedy. Because this is a joint effort here, y'all. If we're going to be able to manage our way out of this. Now, I just want to realize that when we talk about Manchurian Candidate, I'm not trying to make it sound crazy, but y'all know that it can be hypnotism. Y'all remember the videotape they had with the Clintons, where Bill Clinton was looking like he was hypnotized. Then you had George Bush, he was looking like he was hypnotized. They're using hypnotism on people on television. They don't blink. They're giving, they're reading out a speech. Don't you know that's a form of brainwashing? They have even mastered that. So I don't know if they're using this technique on the people to keep telling people that this can be done and that can be done, and then there's no proof of none of it able to be done, especially when we're dealing with a criminal element. Now, I just took a little bit of history, which I like to keep the show where we have facts. But let's read something right quick. Everybody talk about the United States in 1871, you know, created this so-called legal corporate fiction and so forth. And D.C. is not part of it and so forth. Now, imagine saying that, and I know everybody have heard it, but D.C. and them don't know it. People in D.C., if they don't believe it, then really nothing could be done because the people there don't even see it. So what good is somebody in Florida and them trying to tell them that if they can't see it? You see where I'm coming from? If Eleanor Norton Holmes don't know that they don't have no power, and she's got the people for how many years believing that they got representation, think about that. She has no power. D.C. don't even have, ain't even supposed to be part of the United States. It's corporate. Yet, here it is, all these educated, Howard University, all these great areas of learning. You telling me none of them can figure this out? Or are they in on it? One of the two. But let's check this out. It says, the Rothschild-owned central banks, they were in Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan, Libya, Cuba, North Korea, and Iran. That was in the 2000s. In 2006, Putin, here's the reason why we might be having trouble, Putin had paid off the Russian debt to the Rothschilds. The Russian finance, dependence on the Rothschild financiers was now over. Okay? Back to the Bolshevik Revolution again. See how this thing worked? It wasn't about Russia. It was about the banks, the Bolsheviks. And now Putin paid them off and said, get out of here. So Putin could establish what becomes the first Russian unity party. That means Putin is a victory for Russia. This slogan continues to make the New World Order Rothschilds very nervous. Now here, Russia has kicked out the Rothschilds. Rothschild military influence through the Cecil Rhodes Scholarship has embedded within the White House, has unleashed NATO confrontations with Vladimir Putin. Now, y'all see it right there. Has nothing to do with Crimea. Has nothing to do with Crimea. If you notice Crimea, if you look it up, it is the area of the Khazars. Yet, Obamamania keeps you from asking, why are we having this discussion about Russia? Russia just did what we should have did years ago, but they didn't. Russia kicked them out. Libya kicked them out. But they still, they got mad at Libya, and you see what happened to Gaddafi. And the world watches that. Because it's not at our back door. And then now you have the big question of all these weapons that are supposedly now in the hands of these Syrians, in the hands of Boko in Nigeria. We are being played by the same script over and over. This is Bin Laden in blackface. That's it. Bin Laden in blackface. They have to go with this new look. We're too used to the white face. So now the blackface. Obama mania. Everything is cool if a black person does it to us. You know? So what if a black guy is raping a bunch of black individuals in Africa? You know what? We can't talk about it because many of us want to claim our Islamic fundamentalism. That, hey, you know, Islam is this, Islam is that. The man's raping, talking about he's going to see Allah after he killed a bunch of them. You know, and this is supposed to be cool. You know, many of you in the conscious community is kind of funny because most of the findings on the pyramid and throughout all the world, none of our women is clothed up as much as today's Islamic women for some strange reason. I mean, you can only see their eyes. Now, have I said that in the desert areas, that's not supposed to be? No, I'm not. If you're in the desert area, you should be clothed because the sand can rip your skin. But I'm talking about in general tropic nice areas, Hawaii, in the tropics, Australia. These people are half naked. Most women in these tropical subcultural areas are naked, breast showing, because there was no shame in the game. All of a sudden, Islam come, our women got to get fully covered, but yet they claiming Egypt. See how this thing is running? You ain't see none of the Egyptian hieroglyphs, pictures, inscriptions. Women are in beautiful colors, gowns, nice shoulders showing, I mean face, braid, all the scars. But no, now they are just rolled up, can't even see out of one eye. This is what's going on. And so we are pretending again because that Negrophobia is kicking back in where we can't even have a conscious conversation and say, let's analyze this for a minute. You know, what is going on here? We're claiming this, but we're doing that. And so, again, here we go again. Then, I just want to know, is there something wrong to talk about telling the truth? Ain't the truth supposed to hurt occasionally? If you've been doing something that's crazy, it's supposed to be like, wow. But then you read your Bible, it says the truth will be a lie, and a lie will be the truth. That's why that Bible got to be discussed a little bit more thoroughly, because what truth are we lying about, and what lie is actually the truth? One of the lies is actually going on, and we take the truth, is that the Federal Reserve System is just some system. It's canon law. Canon. Papacy law. So I don't see how you can get out of that, y'all. If it's papal law, and it's the principles of sovereignty protected by the Constitution of the right, in fact, the International Bankers uses canon law trust. Okay, as a model of adding stock and naming in joint stock trust. The U.S. Congress has passed laws making it illegal for any legal person to duplicate a joint stock trust in 1873. It said it made it illegal for any person to duplicate a joint stock trust. The Federal Reserve was legislated post facto to 1870, although post facto laws are strictly forbidden by the Constitution. And it said the Federal Reserve is a sovereign power structured separately, distinction of the federal United States government. The Federal Reserve is maritime lenders or maritime insurers or underwriters to the federal United States, operating exclusively under amity maritime law, and the lender is the underwriter bears the risk of the maritime law compelling specific performance and paying the interest or the premiums are the same. It's like insurance. It's like the mafia. This is what this is. This is an insurance scam going on here. You know, and the thing is, again, who's being played the most? Those people who look like Obama. You look like Obama, you getting played the most. You're the main ones losing homes. You're the main ones with the unemployment. And it's structured that way from its very conception. I told you before, where did King Charles hang out before he put this whole system together in Europe and so forth? He hung out with the Venetians in Venice. Those same Venetians who are considered the merchant law. Same ones. Same ones that had to fight with the English because of the Barbary Wars. Merchant wars. Only reason why they came this way, everybody, so you can get this clear, is because the story was told, if you read it properly, it said Cristobal Columbus could not go to the east because of what? It was a war going on. A holy crusade. They couldn't get through the east by walking any longer. So they thought they can go through the west. So they got a couple of brothers on the ships with them who were the navigators, and they thought they were going to be able to come up under those currents and bring them back down, but it ended up bringing them straight here. Well, being that the maps had already shown, they was considered this Asia because they thought they were on the other side. That's one of the things that you can look up. That'll be a fact. So this also starts out as a commercial venture. Just because it's a commercial venture to others does not mean it's a commercial venture for those who were robbed, stolen, beaten, and castigated. That's not a kind. You know, we the people never asked to be put in this condition. We were born into it. No one in my family or your family said, guess what, everybody, we're under merchant law. You know, who says that? Nobody. Nobody comes and say, hey, you know what, we just found out that your birth certificate, son, is worth millions of dollars, but you know what, we don't know how to get it yet. Nobody came and told us this. I mean, it's almost unreal to think that even if our birth certificate was worth that amount of money, who's going to give it to us? Really? Let's ask that question. When somebody asks you, well, we got the birth certificate money and blah, 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 well, where is it? I mean, where is this money that is based off that? And if it's there, are we going to get it in what? Fiat money again? Because, you know, if they got it in fiat money, then is it really money again? Then we're going to be debating, well, that's not really money. Or is it in gold and silver? Is this money in gold and silver? And if that's the case, do we have to have a gold and silver when we got a continent that is full of gold and silver? If they would get their priority together and maybe not play into the hands of the new order, maybe they can get their gold and silver. But guess what? The same trick. Here they go into a continent that's way populated with Negrophobia. Negroes everywhere. Africans everywhere. They went into the interior. So I don't think that this thing is going to be and explained too properly. They in Rhodesia. They in the Congo. Obama's daddy somewhere in Kenya. I wonder how they doing. You don't think about Africa because of the fact that, you know, we really don't reap no benefits from Africa. Now, my African brothers who are maybe listening on the internet, I'm not saying to be mean, but we never had an agreement where y'all said, hey, you can get dual citizenship, all of us. Now, some countries offered it back in the day, but we're going to do a show about those countries like Liberia, who was brought over here with the Christian money, who were Christianized, went over to repatriate, and they were putting living havoc on the people. They thought they was English. Just look this up. The first colony over there was blacks who were acting English and set up English trading posts. Look it up. So that was another trick. I'm trying to give you all the nigrophobia tricks and the bombomaniac mentality that's going to get us into this next time. It ain't going to be good. Let me get somebody on these calls. I see you. Thank y'all. I see somebody got finally got me from stop talking. Please, 8848, go ahead and make a comment. Then I'm going to go to 8. I'm going to go to 0639. 8848, make your comment, please.
Thank you, Dry Bones. It's Malika.
I guess.
All I have, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Can you hear? Okay, great. I'm extremely concerned about a friend of mine who, she's in the Army, and they called her up and they told her that she had to leave to Korea to do an assignment. And she has to be there for 1 year. So she had to leave her home, come to Miami, drop off her kids to her parents, Korea, and she doesn't know what the assignment is. They just told her that she was going to be in a medical facility, and she's an IT computer tech. So she's assuming that she's going to be doing things there, but I'm very concerned because being that she's going to be there a year, I could see how these narcissist reptilians, how they're working towards the agenda in a very quick manner, and how they use the media to, you know, to have the masses get really busy on hating one another, you know, with this whole thing of Taylor Swift. That is so propagated, you know, because, I mean, how can they ever put, you know, how can they ever say that a source that knows her tells her that once you go black, you never go back, and that, you know, they were also scared, but now all they do is, I mean, that is so propagated, and if you can't see that, and you're black, and you're hating, I mean.
Well, you know, I thought that was funny. I thought that's what made me look at the word. Reading, I read the thing, I said, this is really, I said, anybody who's seen the post, I said, nah, this is outrageous. I said, this is too funny. And I put it, you know, laugh out loud. But the words, the Negrophobia word, was actually a definition. And I said to myself, well, where are they going to take this word? And I'm telling people they have legally put it in their mind. That including our own mind now, because it does say only white men and then women. But here's the thing, unprovoked acts of violence and stupidity. What do we do every day, everybody on Facebook? We put our people on TV doing random acts of violence and fighting. Just no problem. It's like, I mean, people who are claiming to be conscious are putting on huge blocks of us fighting all day long, and then they want to have conscious shows afterwards and think that is supposed to be somehow elevating. That is the most destructive thing that creates Negrophobia, because you now have a group of blacks who remember that thing they were doing. Everybody, y'all remember they were just swinging off and knocking people out? Negrophobia. White folks were scared to walk in the area. Then you had us randomly going through stores. We're taping it on our phones. We're tearing up stores, buying stuff out. That creates Negrophobia. What Negrophobia does to the first class of whites makes them buy guns. Okay, everybody? That first class of whites I talked about that has Negrophobia, that is really scared of us, they go buy guns. Huge amounts of them. And very organized. Almost doing retreat stuff. Doing covert activities in the woods, got their kids shooting. You know, they got Obama pictures on the wall. You know, they got Jay-Z shooting up. These people are shooting up on practicing on regular. I don't understand how y'all can just sit back and watch Negrophobia develop and say, oh, no, it's one big family. Let me go over here to 5360. 5360, you're on the air. Five, three, six, zero. Well, he hung up. All right. Y'all get on this call if y'all want to. It's open to everybody. All you got to do is hit the number one. But let's go here. Let's go with this. 5260 has dropped. I don't know what happened. Anyway, let's just say this. When we act a certain way, we in clubs, we shooting. We at our own events, there's a shooting. Now, I ain't telling you other people is not doing that. Yes, there's probably some groups that, you know, get out of hand, of course. But when you got television coverage, you got TMZ, you got everything under the sun watching you, and first thing you do, they put it on TV so quickly, automatic, there they go again. And so riding through the neighborhood, y'all know y'all U-turn when y'all see crazy black folks. So when you see the hood looking crazy, you making a turn, you deviating, because you don't know they going to start shooting. Well, imagine this being seen nationwide. See what I'm saying? Nationwide. Negrophobia. Getting deeper. Anybody who's seen The Purge, which I haven't seen, told me that one of the groups was one of the fighting resistance groups. So I'm thinking to myself, man, why are we the last one fighting? You know, I don't think y'all realize urban warfare is the number one warfare that they're practicing. I don't want to scare anybody, but this is what they're doing. Why? Now, I ain't talking about some of the areas that are maybe suburbs. I'm talking about urban areas that are maybe close to downtown and other cities. They're practicing because if something financial happens, they do not want you going to the financial district trying to tear it up. So that's a no-no. Now, how far away are we with this? Let's just analyze where we're at. Obama has probably, let's say, about a full year left. Because after 2015, you know, he's finished. 2016, we're going to the election year. So right there. So we got until then to see where he's going to deviate or go in the best interest of. If it's not the best interest of us, everybody, how long are we going to watch it? How long are we going to watch it if it's not in our best interest? If you see that we are becoming 15, 20, 25, 30, 35% unemployment across the country. And I ain't talking about getting a job at a Burger King and a McDonald's or Walmart. Most people know that those jobs are really needed to be with a second job. Or two people in the house is working for sure, and one making a killing, that's just another job. But that is not a job that can suffice a family of any sizable family. So public assistance, where is it? Did you call anybody to find out why Obama has given all the public assistance away? Now, you said, well, he's getting on Obama. I told you Bush set up the format. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something, and y'all can take it for what it is. Isn't it strange that Obama signs a bill today or yesterday, one of the days last week, that if you have a respiratory disease, you can be incarcerated because just in case there's an outbreak, he can't have you around. Now, that does not mean Obama put the bill together. He just added on to the bill. The bill was actually put in during the Bush era for being able to fight off if there was a, you know, epidemic. They would create martial law and quarantine people. Quarantine people now? Now, they have shown you FEMA camps are real, everybody. You've seen them because why? They have the young Mexican brothers and sisters in them. Why would they now show you FEMA camps? Without no problem. They're in FEMA camps. They're in FEMA camps across the country. They let now the cat's out the bag. They can't no longer hold it because now they have to use them. Let me see what 0639, you're on the air. Oh, you drive
hey,
on.
Drive on.
Question time.
How you doing?
Hey.
Wanted to ask a quick question. What you're talking
about right
now, is that the same as Rex 84?
Yes. It's an upgrade.
Okay.
Upgrade of Rex 84, for those of you who don't know. It's an upgrade of Rex 84, which has never, Ronald Reagan put that together. In case of emergency, they will cordon off all states, local police. They will, and you can see that happening already now. They are already controlling major police bureaus. This is in effect. It's just been more hyping, and it's more, and it's entrenched so smoothly that it took that long. Everybody, see how things work? It doesn't happen overnight. That's what Reagan's about. How many presidents ago? He got to be at least four presidents ago, and maybe five. And for his programs to now be in effect at another level shows you the persistence that they have in their initiation of things. It doesn't happen overnight, but it progressively has happened to the point where now they have taken over most of our police agencies. And with Agenda 21, everybody, that's entrenched, we have to take a responsibility to say, how long are we going to watch? Because if you love your children, you can't leave them much of anything if it's gone. Only thing we usually have is servitude after that, which is serfdom. We cannot go down that way. Let me go to 9557. Stay on the line. 9557, you on air. Good evening.
Good evening. I was just listening, and you were just talking about, you know, if the Agenda 21 and the Rex 84 all goes, what does anybody have planned to deal with this? If somebody, maybe a new listener just comes on, what would you suggest they do from tomorrow to either help or protect themselves from the imminent that's going to happen? And you said if this happens, we're going to be in the servitude. We've been in servitude. Unless you are sovereign and debt-free, you are in servitude. This is servitude. Somebody tell me something.
It's servitude. Now, let me
it's
ask you a question. When you say
now.
Yeah, I agree on servitude now. And what did you say earlier? You mentioned that you said as individuals, you said what can we
yeah,
do?
Yeah, if somebody, what do you do? The first step, when they control food, transportation, the water, everything, what do you do? Or how long would you last?
Well, there is those who have been preparing. I don't know the length of time we would last because that's kind of hard to say. But there's those who have been preparing themselves, I'm sure. Those who have the concept that they have food and so forth. But it's almost like a storm. Like I tell people to take it as hurricane preparation. Regardless if a sudden storm comes or not, you still have the preparation because you don't know when it will arrive. So it's a storm preparation mentality. It's a storm preparation mentality. It may not happen this year, but you have the provisions just in case. And you keep them in, keep them up just like you don't get rid of nothing because it didn't happen. You keep them in because you never know when it can happen. Now, I tell everybody the experience that I had when I was in a catastrophe. Unfortunately, it seems that we only have to get to that level when we are all against the wall, which I said earlier in the show. It seems that we're waiting for that time when we see that there's no other course of action. And I believe, and I have seen from not even believing, I've witnessed that the human nature comes out at an unbelievable force. Unfortunately,
then,
it takes calamity.
When our backs are against the wall, we start becoming animals. That's what happens.
Well, No, it's stages. You become animalistic first because it's going to happen. And then you phase out of animalistic to the point where you realize, okay, I'm alive, I still got a function. And then those who got some semblance of order will compromise together to keep order within the parameters of whatever neighborhood or district or you're at. You will become more cohesive. You will learn to protect the perimeter of your neighborhood. Those with guns will say, you ain't coming in. Those who have food, they will start to cook potlucks, dinners, and start to live amongst themselves in a different mentality. It happens. Yes, you will loot. You will act a fool in the first 48 hours. I'm going to tell you that straight up because your mind freaks out. So we're trying to get you not to do that part because if the mind freaks out, then you're susceptible to all the foolishness that's out there. And, of course, if we were able to get this word out to our people and peoples of all peoples, maybe it will cut down on the foolishness that when this does occur because they will pull it off. It's just that how will we
react? Yeah, I think it's going to be it's going to be a sequence of things kind of happening all at one time in various areas. Because I was having a talk with some friends of mine that one day, if we all woke up and everybody's bank account said zero, what would you do? How long would you last? Are you going to be running, try to hold up a Bank of America? There'll be a line to the highway. What would you do?
Right.
And there's nothing because they've done it in, I can't remember, the over in the Greece area. I can't remember, Crete. They did that. The bank just took everybody's money because they can do things like that. But we're too busy being, you know, dumbed down, like as we say, by the government and the system and everything, blaming everybody, but not trying to take responsibility and planning and prepping to get it going before this happens. Because I don't care how much food, how much ammo, how much medicine, how much food you grow in, it's going to run out sooner or later. And we have to do stuff together. Don't wait till, you can't wait till the shit hits the fan to try to clean the mess up. You have to protect yourself before it happens.
I agree with you, and I wish, and let's just say this, what you're saying, it would be the most practical way of doing things, but unfortunately, everybody's not going to do it at the same time, but I'm going to stick by this. There is, I wouldn't say this if I didn't see it. I've seen the worst turn into the best of us, and because of that situation, I believe that it can happen again. Now, if I never seen that, I could not stand on that. But I've seen martial law. I was in martial law for over 3 months. 3 months I was in martial law. I've seen FEMA, which is now broke. We can't count on FEMA, everybody, because FEMA's been broke and ain't nothing coming no way no more. So these are the things that I tell you. We as humanity must come up now. Hold on. Y'all stay online. I'm going to bring some more calls in, but y'all can stay on the line. Let me get 9240. You on the line.
Yes, yes, peace. Greetings, family. The part about the bank, the information that you were talking about earlier, but like earlier when you mentioned Bank of America about the monies and how that game is being played, and we have to understand, we have to wake up and get out of this dream that we have. We have to understand that corporations like Bank of America and all these big corporations, they have money specifically set aside just for lawsuits and stuff like that. Here's the thing. They're going to do wrong to you, and they know certain things are going to happen to you.
If they can,
hopefully they'll try their best not to give you the money or pay you, unless it's something where you got injured. And so you see all the red tape. We all been working. You know about workman's comp. You know the stuff they put you through. It's the same situation. It's the same thing. They have money, millions, billions of dollars put aside just for lawsuits. So when they throw, when they try their best, they go to the last resort before they give you a portion. So what happens is now when they just gave the money away, like you said, brother, that's nothing for them. That was already put aside to give it. They try their best not to give it to you, but it was already put aside there for stuff like that. And that's money that they take from and they're giving it right back to you. When they charge and all this other stuff, when they charge you for the mortgage, all these extra fees that nobody ever questions, nobody ever says anything, that's where all that money is coming from.
Well, but remember
your
now,
money, they're taking it and they're giving it right back to you.
And the thing that get me is with us, it's our money. Now, now most of the people, and we had the show, Sister Ngoni gave us an idea back earlier about the narcissist. Most of these people, the first phase of narcissism, they're not even the ones doing most of the work. It's the people who are of the commonality crew, those who are relatives, those of us who have cousins working for these agencies. Have you ever asked any of your relatives, most of y'all who have relatives work for Homeland Security, ask them some questions and see how they react. You have to start questioning your own people that are around, because they are the ones that are in the positions to carry this about. When it comes to police brutality, most of these people are in your pews, are in your churches. After they come to church, they get on the clock, they become a police officer all of a sudden, and then you don't know how they act afterwards, because guess what? You take them as officer-friendly. These people are the ones that are going to be the ones that have to be accountable within our own ranks, because they are the ones, they don't have the money, they're not the rich, but the people of the middle class seems to be our own worst enemy. That means we are our own worst enemy. We are doing our own selves in. Of course, a judge who's in your neighborhood that you see regularly, have you asked them why these things are happening? Have you asked anybody about why Stand Your Ground only works in a certain way? See, it takes responsibility now, because it's coming to that point where you don't say anything too much longer, those laws will be taken out and you won't be able to say anything. Now, the next phase of Obama mania will practically be at your front door. You say anything against me, and guess what? Boom. They already monitored all this information, so you can't be afraid, everybody. That's another thing. I noticed that, you know, no one has a problem with the one person who talks out getting killed. He could get killed. Next minute, everybody will be on Facebook talking about, oh, he was so nice. I remember how he used to talk about the government. And then on my deathbed, y'all be putting like. I'm in the coffin. All I'll be getting, I get 1,000 likes then while I'm in the coffin. See, this is where we at. We want to watch the one person syndrome and don't want to get involved with the whole scheme of things. This is not a real individual trip. I mean, there's a lot of people who got money. I mean, some people on these calls probably got nice houses and cars. The problem is, how long can we keep them if they're going to forfeit on mortgages? They're going to raise the taxes. You can have a beautiful home, you don't own it, because guess what? Of the trick they made about owning all these properties. Now, my question to everybody, how come we don't ask the people around us who we know got power? Y'all around, everybody has been around somebody in some type of position. It seems like when they come around us, we get nervous. We don't even ask. Like, well, how y'all getting away with our pensions? How is this happening? And see, when they get a quiet group of people, that's another thing. An uninformed population is a blind population. And we are pretty blind at this moment. We're pretty blind. Go ahead. Anybody wants to jump in, feel free. We are at the top of the hour. I appreciate everybody who's been hanging on the calls this long. If you want to stay on the calls and we can take a little longer, do not hang up. Or if you do, call right back in, because at 11, you will not be able to continue. Let me ask y'all something. Are we in communism, those of you on this line?
Absolutely.
Now, what about you, 9557? Are we in communism to you? I heard
more socialism. We're more towards socialism, because we're handing it to everybody that has their hand out.
No,
okay, so
that's
social. What about democratic socialism? Anybody ever heard of democratic socialism?
That's Nazism.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Now let me go to this.
Hold on.
Go ahead, make a comment.
Yeah. It's all in disguise. It puts on different disguises. It runs back in the house, put on the disguise of communism, and come back out and use it when it needs to.
That's right.
It puts on fascism, because actually we're really under fascism. It puts on fascism, and then it comes out, and then it changes and go back in. Then it goes put on a Democrat costume, and it comes back, and it comes out, and it shows up. Okay, his kid's kind of far away, and he waves at you, but he's got his hands behind his back. And he's waving at you.
Yeah.
But they change, just like they do with the costumes and the games they play, they change the rules as they go and use them for their benefit. And as soon as something happens, they change it and flip it around. They make the rules so that just so they can break them. and then they break them when it comes to, when it's not beneficial to themselves. When too many people come on board, because they, like you said, they study us, they know us, so well. Like the reactionary, like you said, like what you commented that you said a while ago. I personally have approached certain people in high positions when I see whenever I get the position, I'm going to ask them. But the majority of them, and not enough of us do that. If we had like about maybe 10 or 15 or 20 people at one time, even at that time, go to like a meeting City Hall or something, put these people. But you don't see that. I went to City Hall. I seen one person. One time I went to City Hall. I was the only one in the room. I was the only one there. I'm like, I thought I was dreaming, because you hear people talk about it and say that we don't show up, we don't do this thing, but it's real. But anyway, they dance around it. Oh well, these things we can't really comment on it because it's out of our hands. The banking system has their own system. And all kind of this, and they do
favorite.
This song and dance. They do this song
that's
and dance. You know how that goes.
Yeah, that's their favorite one. It's under their own system. It's their own system. Hold on, keep staying on the line. Let me get another person in, because now everybody want to get on the call. Let's call it now. 0638.
Yes, Hotep, my brother. Hotep. Any kind of ism is to us, period. We went through communism, then we went to fascism, now we're socialism, and now we're reaching to the point of a despotic rule. You know, they brought the European community in on the $1 system. We're the last of the Mohicans, practically, because NAFTA did it all between North America, Canada, USA, Mexico, and the Americas. And it's on the way. Like you say, Detroit was the first rule. There are many more others to come, you know. When it comes to the police system, state, now they've arrested the guy who had the video showing that the police were totally, you know, unruly and you know, wrong in a sense.
Yeah.
Now they've arrested that gentleman there, you know, just for exposing the truth. Under what right or rule? But then, you know, nobody says anything. It's just business as usual. And we get back to that 10-man rule. You know, we brag and we talk and we boast and talk about certain things that, you know, we're going to do or, you know, but, and then we go back to doing nothing. And so when it's the same old beat, then, you know, they have no regard for what we're going to do or what they think we're going to do, because everyone's happy in their own little world, and as long as it's not happening to them, you know, until it hits the back door and kicks open the door and then tell you what you can watch and what you cannot watch. And
well, let me ask all y'all then. Let me ask everybody, is it okay to be in our own little world, everybody, to maybe to say, well, hell, let me break from my own matrix out of this world to create my own, let's just say, my own reality for myself based off the fact that, you know, we are in our own bodies. In your mind, most of you on the phone, and I could take each one of y'all one at a time if y'all want to answer that. Have the right to just say, I escape, I'm only going to do me? Is that something that you believe can maybe free the minds of many?
When they gave each and every one their own little title and put them on different facets of income and they created this so-called American dream and so-called fake goals of reaching and keeping up with the Joneses, it created a divide and rule system. And, you know, so everyone is comfortable in their own little world, and nobody wants to be uncomfortable. And until we get to the point where it finally hits home and you know, it makes us uncomfortable and it affects us, then that's when it's going to shake everybody, but then hopefully, and I say hopefully, that, you know, we wake up before then, because, I mean, the strategy is divide and rule, you know, make everyone
okay.
think that, you know.
Let me get the other lady. Let me get Sister 0639, I think, Sister Goni. You want to say something on that one?
Yes, thank you, Drybone. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. I wanted to do real quick. I wanted to respond to what you guys were just talking about, to asking the question, are we all in our own little world? And, you know, yes, we are, but according to some, and Mark Passio is very good at, you know, at teaching just exactly what – why we're in the condition we're in, because we're under mind control, just like the Germans were under Nazi Germany. We're literally under mind control since the time we came into this world. Now, I wanted to address also the lady that was asking, what can we do, okay? First thing we can do is to understand that money is part of the spell. I notice a lot of people, when we're trying to talk about what, you know, what's going on and what we can do about it, the first thing we start talking about is money or City Hall. That's going bye-bye, and we're going to have to accept the fact that it's not real, it doesn't exist, it's not real. Like Mark Passio says, it's not in nature. It's a spell. It's a trick that they have been using to control the whole world. It doesn't really exist. So... When we accept that, then I wanted to say this real quick. I know Drybones don't want me to be too long, but I wrote some notes so I could get it all in, because I wanted to respond to the lady, but it went kind of fast. So I wanted to tell the lady that was speaking that there is a website called the Club Orlov, O-R-L-O-V. Dmitry Orlov, it's Club Orlov, and he has an article on there called The Five Stages of Collapse. It was really helpful to read that. Pardon?
No, I saw a couple things, but you were saying that the money is non-existent. It is.
What did you
say
about Club Orlov? I didn't hear what
money or credit.
No,
I've heard of it.
I
didn't hear. Oh, okay. You said you already heard of it. Have you read it?
Yes.
Okay.
He has a blog. Some things, yes. And I understand that the collapse is imminent, but in the interim, money is what makes everything around here move. Money and credit. There's actually not really any money. There's only about maybe 3% actual cash in the nation.
You're coming from the old paradigm. What I'm talking about is we have to reconsider our values, because it's going away.
Hold on, hold on. I'm trying to get y'all to both here. She said it was only 3% of actual money
in
circulation.
There's only 3% actual cash, yes.
Now, everybody agrees with that. I think that's something that we all could agree with, that it's not that much money in circulation. Everything's basically digitized.
There's not. Everything is just digits. Just numbers on the computer screen, the zeros, the commas, they add, subtract. That's what it is.
Okay.
And nothing, pretty much nothing moves without money or credit here. So to actually say that it's non-existent, I really don't believe that until it is done for sure.
But it never did exist. In our minds.
It did exist. It did
no,
exist.
It doesn't.
You can't
no, it
do
doesn't.
Anything
well,
without it.
A credit and debt system.
Okay, so,
we have never been paid in our whole life. I'm sorry, Drybones.
To not be paid doesn't mean that money doesn't exist. Maybe it didn't exist in your world, but in this world and people who are conducting business, money does exist. It existed before the Federal Reserve was implemented. Currency is money.
Okay,
whether it was coins.
I come in peace. I'm just trying to give you another perspective.
No. I understand that, but you're saying that it doesn't exist.
And I stand on that. It doesn't exist. Nate, I said it doesn't exist.
Okay.
Hold on.
Let me ask you a question. Do you drive? How do you put gas in your car? Is it free? How do you get food? Do you grow it? How do you get it?
Okay, that's a question that everybody asks. Again, and hold on before everybody asks that question. So we said this earlier. Mostly everybody, I've heard this myself, this fiat money is not backed by gold or silver, but in this particular venue of the world that we in, most of everybody that I know, if you have a car, you're paying it with a credit card or fiat money. If you got a house or any type of belief system of shelter, you are going to pay with this fiat money. Because we're not paying with gold and silver yet. So we are using this system of debt credit collection. Now, can it work for us? I really don't know because no one has ever showed me an implemented plan yet that could make us work and make it work for us. It probably does. It probably is a plan that could make this type of stuff work for us because they wouldn't teach you it. But there's never going
to
be a person.
The thing is to not spend more than you have. Just like the thing with the banks. Everybody was blaming Bank of America and all these banks for overdraft fees. Nobody told you to write a check that you didn't have money in the bank, praying that the business that you wrote it to didn't cash it before you got paid on Friday. No. A lot of people got caught up in that, and they were repaid a lot of money, but you can't blame it all on the banks, just like with the houses. People bought houses they knew they couldn't afford because somebody sold them a bill of goods, told them, well, you could afford it for right now. Didn't show them the fine print, and that's all in ignorance and everything. But for the most part, people need to start being responsible for what they're doing.
I was just going to say that. Hold on. You making sense? So basically, again, does it go back to personal responsibility that all of us need to take a part of to, let's just say, economically? Because we got to put in some things in perspective. When they wrote that Federal Reserve bill, many good-hearted people who believe like the lady who's talking here now, I mean, you wouldn't have believed that they would put a bill in that would actually be designed for you to be indenturedly servitude. I mean, you wouldn't have think they would do that, would you, ma'am?
No, I really didn't think so, but our parents or our grandparents, they didn't have any problems with foreclosing houses, except, of course, the Depression era, yes. But we weren't trying to get things that we knew we couldn't afford. But this is what we're all about. We're about the iPhones and the big cars and the stuff that we can't afford. And then we get upset because we can't keep it. Now, granted, there are some people that, for no fault of their own, you know, they lost their jobs and things like that. There's a lot of unemployment, but there's still a lot of jobs out there. I go on Craigslist and look for jobs. Maybe it's not the job you want, but it's still money, I guess, that doesn't exist. I don't know.
Okay, hold on.
I don't know
Can I just clarify what I was trying to say?
Clarify, then we'll go to another caller. Go ahead.
My statement was money doesn't exist in nature. And you asked what can we do. And what I was trying to share was that the first thing we can do is question our belief in money because as I played a clip tonight, and this is proof and support in what the clip said, that we have been taught that's our God, money. We can't even imagine living without money, and it's not real, and it never has been. So if we can accept it's going to go away, and we can accept and we can extend our thinking and our vision beyond money and how it used to be, maybe we can find some answers about what we can do. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay, so the thing that I understand where you come from, is anything could be money if we wanted it to be. We could make whatever the concept of value to an individual group. I remember, let's be honest, y'all, before paper money, they were doing trinkets. They were doing coins. They were doing seeds. Seeds was money at one time. People don't want to believe that. Mm-hmm. Seeds was money. So it's a conceptualization of what we believe that is worth of worth. And because this was pushed down our throats. This was pushed down our throats mainly because of the fact that we were not privileged to have any say so in this. So a lot of what we're coming to, we are just now getting understanding to how these things are affecting us. Let me take a few more questions for us. Let me ask everybody, because tonight's show was called Negrophobia and Obamamania. How many of y'all will be honest with me to say that there is in your mind, some Negrophobia that has been experienced or you have seen? Anybody want to take on that? Is Negrophobia real to you? Anybody? So let me ask you, y'all never had the experience that being around some unprovoked act of violence might happen, and which sometimes happens on these conversations based upon who you're around. You could be around a group that just cannot take this and have a heart attack on you and trip out. Is that a lot to do? And I use these two tonight because Obama, as part of this economic going, that like the sister said earlier, we brought these houses, but then it's more than that. How do you bail out people? You know, it has to be done with balance. You know, you can't just bail out the banking system who did all this corruptness, and then when it's my turn, there's no bailout. So it's got to be some balance there, in which there seems to be none. And so that creates a lot of tension, a lot of animosity, based on the fact that, you know, here's rich people being bailed out. Now, that has nothing to do with us buying houses, because in all actuality, they push the mortgage rates up by speculation. Now, this is done by a crafty crew. If I have a house, I come down and tell you, hey, your house is worth this, and then next week we talk to the Wall Street bankers, all right, let's dissolve these houses. That is something that many people would not be able to detect. Would y'all agree with that? That's scrupulous. That's being scrupulous. And that's what we're under. Go ahead.
What about the idea that you mentioned the bailout? So what about the idea that since Nixon took the United States off the gold standard in 71, and that unhinged all the other nations in the world from their gold standard, because the U.S. dollar was the world reserve currency. So that made everybody in the whole world's nations fiat currencies, okay? So the question was asked, okay, since they bailed out the banks, which the reason they did that is because they're trying to keep the carousel going, and like Rupert was talking about, the whole concept of infinite growth doesn't work on a finite planet. So that's the reason why I brought up the question about accepting that money is not real in nature. Okay, so he brought up the question, okay, why not the people demand that all corporate debt, which is fraud and fake anyway, because they just created money out of thin air and charged the government's interest that they loaned it to, why not the whole world stand up and demand that all corporate debt be wiped out?
Well, I mean, you talked about this one time, and I said because of that Bible that we talked about, that year of Jubilee, is something that is surrounded with that. Unfortunately, we haven't seen the year of Jubilee, but all debts were supposed to be forgiven. The World Bank has the power to do that, or the IMF Bank, correct. The IMF could possibly forgive all these nations' debts. But the problem, again, is, are we dealing with a moral fiber of people here? Or are we dealing with a sinister group of bankster organization? I don't think anybody
was
going to do
it. Don't we ask them to do it? I said, why don't the lady said, what can we do? Okay, so there, if the people of the world understand the concept of money and that it's fraudulent and it's not real, then they maybe can get beyond the dependency in their minds, because that's the only place money exists is in our minds, because we've been conditioned to believe we have to have it to live. But we don't have to have it to live. And
We've been conditioned to believe because we don't barter no more. We used to barter. Anything could have been. I told you, anything could have been used as money. But we've been conditioned to this particular paper that we have today, and it's not by accident. If one of these days we'll do another show on money and how its Masonic roots are in alchemy, and how that money has a lot of energetic power that is not all the time good. But then again, It says, and I'll use this again because that's why I like to use this to make sense. It says money is a defense. Well, you brothers that's in the craft, you heard that before. Money is a defense. What does that mean to some of y'all there when it says money is a defense?
I don't know, but before you go off to the defense, has anybody on the line heard of Ithaca Hours out of New York? It's about 20 years old, where people go with their skills and they do whatever is needed in the community. There's an accounting system where those hours count for you to be able to trade that for other things and goods and services that you need. So that's one example of what is being done and what can continue to be done in the event that money does go away. And if we don't panic because we don't have any money, that's what I was trying to get to, okay? If we just say, okay, well, I know it's going to happen for some. For some, yes, because they think that money is real and they think that they have some. They think they own their house and their car and all that, and they don't own anything. It's all an illusion. So if we can get past the illusion, then maybe we can think about what we can do, like Ithaca Hours and other things like that, to be able to. And by the way, barter, according to a book called The History of Debt, comes about when civilization or fiat currencies collapse. Barter doesn't come up until there's no other choice. Then people start trading with each other.
And that's where I think we're at. I think that because so little of us will do what you just said, the Ithaca Hours or some type of program that will be could be instituted because of the way the brainwashing is. And like she said, these iPhones, all these technological instruments that we have, that these frequencies keep us in tune to the setup. So we got to realize we are in tune to it as well because of the frequencies, the so-called things that we have legitimized to be legitimately important in this world. We have taken on that type of mindset. So, yes, brainwashing is there. It ain't going nowhere until we say enough. The question is, can we work together prior to this so-called collapse? I think we can. I think that
the electricity might have to go out. The electricity might have to go out. The internet may have to go off, and all the iPhones won't work before we'll get there. But maybe we can.
It will. I'm telling you, I've been without TV. Like I say, the Hurricane Andrew survivors, y'all know, it was no TV for 6 months. It was no electricity. It was no electricity, practically. It took a long time before we got electricity. So I know it can happen. My thing is, do you really want to learn vicariously again? Can't you learn from people prior to having to experience it yourself? Do you really want to go down that route and see how bad it gets before you actually say, hey, wait a minute, we ain't got to go to this? That's where I'm trying to get people to understand. You have the ability, all of us. It's going to be collective. I can't say it's a one-on-one thing. It's going to be collective, in my because we couldn't do it. Hurricane Andrew could not be won by one people. It was a group of people working together. But this thing here ain't about the buildings being knocked down, y'all. It's about your way of living being jacked up and being changed and transformed. Because, again, it's not just going to be currency. They're going into microchipping, everybody. Microchipping is going to be electronic currency. I hope y'all seen the other day about the electronic tattoo, which will be used as your password for all transactions. They already got it ready. And that tattoo will turn your computer on. You'll be able to walk to your bank account and use your tattoo as a password. Of course, they're getting closer to not even using money, not even using paper. Paper gone anyway. Everything would be digitized, but this time it would be in you. How far do you have to go before that come, everybody? And my point again is, go ahead, somebody take over.
Well, we still got time. Here's the thing with that. See, that behavior that we have, that's a behavior that we need to understand. That's a behavior that's been learned. That was from slavery. You're still dealing with a slave mentality, because that part of the keep reacting, waiting till everything comes and then react and wait to the last minute, that's not something, that's not part of our makeup, that's not part of our biology. That was something that was learned. That was part of a conditioning. And everybody that's on the show tonight, if you have a chance, go to YouTube if you have a chance. Most of you probably heard of her already, but if you have not, go look at Dr. Joy Degree Leary. It's Joy Degree, D-E-G-R-U-Y. Sometimes she just used Degree. Sometimes she used Degree Leary, L-E-A-R-Y. It's post-traumatic disorder. She also has post-traumatic slave syndrome. She gives an awesome, awesome, I mean, she breaks it down to the point that a six-year-old can understand it. How
I
our
think,
minds have been conditioned, why we are the
watched.
Way we are, and why we react the way we are. That needs to be watched. Every, a matter of fact, that should be in every classroom, and every children should be watching that video.
I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's get everybody to watch it. We'll probably put something on next week if it's all good. I'll check it out because I do believe there is a post-traumatic stress syndrome in everybody that's in this hemisphere based off the fact of the system has been so perverse. Let's be honest, everybody. All of us have been brainwashed in some form or fashion. Some of us have fought many of it off as much as we can, but we still got a lot to go because guess what? We have not been able to break that clutch of you got to live, you got to have a car, and we damn sure got to eat. Now, these are the functions that ain't going nowhere. So how are we going to suffice? How are we going to suffice if something were to happen? That's the question for everybody. That's the question for everybody. How will you suffice when this thing put out? Because, again, the choice is yours. You have choice. The choice is yours. Which route? And don't let Obama, if something were to happen, stop you from making your decisions on saying that, hey, things are messed up. That's the Obama mania. That's another crutch, everybody. You got to be able to say, I don't care what color he is. If he's about to put me in FEMA camps, I ain't going to be talking about, yeah, man, we can't talk against the black president. I mean, that's absolutely ludicrous. That's almost insane. But guess what? The people who program us said that would be a perfect scenario because they won't go again. Because, again, post-traumatic syndrome is a traumatic scar on the brain or on the individuals who have not had therapy. And if that therapy is not given to you, you repeat this same scenario over through generations into generations into generations. And let's be honest, this is one topic that has not had any type of serious talk, dialogue, because you know why? Our ego does not want to say we still in slavery. Some people want to offer people say, I ain't no slave.
That's right.
Nah, I ain't no slave.
Yeah.
I've heard it all the time. I work. I've got a good job. I mean, people
I got
come
money.
On years ago, you couldn't
yeah,
tell them that
exactly.
Chevrolet was going to close up. If I told people Chevrolet was going to close up, they'd have had a heart attack. If I told them Chrysler was going
to
be gone, they'd have had a
heart
attack.
Yeah, go watch that video.
I'm going to suggest if you want to have a conversation about it next week, everybody, because Wednesday, let me just say, those of you on the air, because I'm supposed to have Irritated Genie out of Atlanta, Georgia on the air, and he'll be talking about the feminization of the male and a few other things that he's supposed to kick it with, but we'll get more information also on the blog. So, again, I want to be too long, but I enjoy it. Thank you, Sister Ngoni. Thank you, my sister who called. Thank you, Brother Al. Thank you, Brother, I think that's Brother G. I appreciate y'all call tonight. Let's keep this dialogue going because, like everybody else, if the word has power, how can you not talk? So let's make that happen, everybody. Keep the dialogue alive and keep our souls in tune. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Drawbone.
Yeah.
Good night.
Peace.
Good night.